You know, we Christians who live at this time in history should be very thankful. Why? Well, let me give you just one reason. Through God's gift of modern medical research and practice, we have at our disposal numerous medicines and surgical techniques that give us healing of various illnesses and injuries for which there was no cure less than a century ago. In fact, 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the earth, people died of injuries that are easily healed today. In addition, 2,000 years ago, people suffered greatly from diseases that are easily cured today. For example, in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, we heard about a man who was suffering from a disease known now as leprosy, a word based on the name of the bacterium that causes the disease. Now, this bacterium was discovered in 1873, and a cure for leprosy was developed in 1940. However, before 1940, the disease was incurable, and those afflicted with leprosy suffered a slow, painful death. Now, one of the effects of leprosy is that it causes painful sores on your skin. In addition, leprosy also numbs the nerves of the infected areas as well as the nerve endings on your fingers and toes. The result is that you do not feel pain. So if you bump yourself or cut yourself, you do not realize it. Now, you might think that not feeling pain would be a good thing, but it's not. You see, God allows us to feel physical pain so that we can know when we've been hurt and deal with the wound quickly. But if one has leprosy, you might get scratched or cut and not know it right away. If such wounds are not quickly treated, infection sets in with the result that people might lose their limbs or even die. Now, with that understood, we can appreciate why the man in our gospel reading wanted to be healed. But we must remember that no human had a cure for leprosy back then. And so if a person who had leprosy suddenly ended up being cured, there was only one reason for that. God had healed the person. Therefore, this man in our gospel reading believed that Jesus was no ordinary man. In fact, this man with leprosy gives a witness of his trust in Jesus when he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." First, he says, "If you are willing." Now, does this mean the man doubted whether Jesus loved him or even cared about him? No. Instead, this man understood that God knows what's best for us. We confess the same thing in the Lord's Prayer when we say, "Thy will be done." This man understood that sometimes God allows us to suffer. In such cases, we must trust that God will use our suffering to strengthen our faith and also give us an opportunity to witness to others about our hope in God's promises of forgiveness and eternal life, which are certain even in the midst of sickness and death. Now, the man also said, "You can make me clean." Why didn't the man say to Jesus that he could heal him, or that he could cure him? Why did he use the word clean? Well, simply put, the Hebrew culture at that time associated some diseases with filthy conditions. And even though they didn't know about bacteria back then, they were not far off. The Hebrews believed that whatever filth was causing the disease, that filth needed to be eliminated from the body and washed away. They also knew that only God could do this. Therefore, as long as a person had leprosy, They were separated from the community and forced to live apart from God's people. With that in mind, it's not surprising that God used leprosy as a symbol of spiritual illness and the sin that infects us all. You see, just as Mycobacterium leprae infects your body, sin infects your heart and mind. In fact, sin is much more deadly. If your heart and mind are opposed to God, you will suffer a fate worse than death. If your sin is not washed away, you will spend eternity separated from God's love. Now, by using this analogy, God is trying to show us that one can be physically healthy and yet be spiritually sick. Sadly, in Jesus' day, many refused to believe this. Not only did they shun the lepers and avoid physical contamination, they also assumed wrongly that the lepers were somehow worse sinners and that their disease was a punishment from God. And of course, they then made the opposite error, and that was if you were healthy, that is, they assumed you were somehow better than others and that God was rewarding you with health. But Jesus turns this evil way of thinking upside down. Our gospel reading says that Jesus was filled with compassion. And Jesus then did something that would have shocked the people of his day. Jesus reached out and he physically touched this leprous man. Jesus risked being infected himself. But that didn't stop Jesus. Jesus touched the man and he said, "I am willing. Be clean." Mark then tells us that the man was instantly cured. Now again, let me remind you that in those days there was no cure for leprosy. So if a person was cured of leprosy, the only answer could be that it was a miracle of God. And so the man who was healed of leprosy obviously believed that Jesus was God. That's why he came to Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." But then Jesus says something that seems strange to us. Jesus commands the man not to tell anyone that Jesus had healed him. Instead, he tells the man to show himself to the priest, whose job it was to examine lepers who claimed to have been healed by God. Now, if the priest determined that the person actually had been healed, then they were to offer sacrifices in thanks and praise to God who had worked the miracle. But why would Jesus insist that this man not tell anyone that he had healed this man of leprosy? Well, simply put, Jesus didn't want people to think that his primary mission was physical healing. If you were here last Sunday, we learned that Jesus' primary goal was the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus understood that physical healing will do you absolutely no good if you do not confess your sin and trust in Jesus as your Savior. However, the man who was healed of leprosy couldn't keep a secret. He disobeyed Jesus, and he told everyone that he met that Jesus had healed him of leprosy. And what was the result? Tons of people ran after Jesus so he could heal them of their various illnesses and injuries. And we find out later on that if Jesus tried to preach a sermon about repentance and the forgiveness of sins, they would not listen. They wanted physical healing. They didn't want to waste their time with sermons. This saddened Jesus greatly. Now, how does this apply to us today? Well, as I said at the beginning of the sermon, we should be thankful for all the medical treatments and cures that so benefit us today. This should remind us that God is still compassionate. and that He usually is willing to provide for our physical needs. But sometimes God is not willing to meet our physical needs. Even with all the miracles of modern medicine, there are still illnesses and injuries that can't be healed. Even today, people still get sick and eventually die. Why is God not willing to cure us sometimes? Well, we must understand that God wants us to recognize our real problem. We are all infected with sin. We are all spiritually unclean. We need to be cured of the evil that infects our hearts and minds. We need to have our sins washed away, and only Jesus can cure us. Only Jesus can make us clean before God. Yes, my friends, sometimes God allows us to suffer so that we will remember how much we need the Lord, and that our greatest need is not physical, but spiritual. When God allows us believers to suffer, He actually promises to strengthen our faith through that trial. And so during times of trial, we can rejoice in the fact that our sins are forgiven and that we have the certain hope of eternal life, even though we might die. In addition, God also allows us to suffer so that during such times, we can be witnesses to others of the hope we have in Christ. My friends, God is not always willing to provide for our physical needs, and I've already explained why. However, please understand, God is always willing to provide for our spiritual needs. You see, Scripture teaches that all who call upon the name of the Lord in repentance will be saved. Scripture says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Scripture teaches that God wants all to be saved. Therefore, when the Spirit moves you to say, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean," Jesus will most certainly say to you, "I am willing. Be clean." My friends, Jesus has made you clean. I think of the first stanza of the sermon hymn we just sang. Let me read it to you again. "Today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin, however great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today." My friends, Jesus reached out and touched you in the waters of holy baptism. And when He touched you, He allowed your sin to infect Himself. And He took that sin to the cross where He dealt with it once and for all. Jesus has healed you. You are clean. You know, King David experienced this miracle of God. The Spirit moved King David to write Psalm 51, and that psalm expresses the joy that we have in knowing that God is willing to forgive our sins. Now, in this psalm, David says the following to God. He says, "Cleanse me with hyssop." Now, what in the world did he mean? Well, hyssop was a leafy plant used by the Old Testament priests in the temple at Jerusalem. When they offered animal blood sacrifices, they would dip this leafy branch in the blood and sprinkle the people with the sacrificial blood as a sign that their sins were forgiven because of the sacrifice of the coming Savior. So when David said, "Cleanse me with hyssop," he was using Old Testament language to speak about the sacrifice of the coming Christ. And my friends, just as the priests used hyssop to sprinkle the people with the sacrificial blood, God now uses His word to sprinkle us with the true blood of Jesus, who died and conquered death for us. In our reading from Hebrews, we heard language that alludes to this. Listen again. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the reason we come together in this place is that God wants to serve us with His gifts. In this place, God washes us with the waters of holy baptism. In this place, God sprinkles us with His words of mercy. In this place, we eat and drink the very body and blood that Jesus gave and shed for us. In this place, we sing hymns that speak of Jesus and all He has done for us. So when we meet together for the divine services of God, the Holy Spirit moves us to encourage each other with God's promises. We heard about this also in our reading from Hebrews. It said, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." My friends, the day is approaching. One day Jesus will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. And then all the physical healings and earthly treasures we now experience will mean absolutely nothing if on that day we do not trust in Jesus for mercy and eternal life. On the other hand, even if you are now sick, even if you now live in poverty, even if you now are at death's door, if you trust in Jesus, then you know that your sins are forgiven and that you have a certain hope of eternal life in God's new creation, where you will bask in His love forever. One final thing must be said. Unlike the man in our gospel reading, Jesus does not want you to be silent about the miracle He has given you. Unlike the men in our gospel reading, Jesus does not want you to keep quiet about the forgiveness and eternal life He has given you. Jesus wants you to tell everyone what He has done, because God wants all to be saved and live in His love forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.